Unbelievable piece in the Sefer called Yerav Nasichi from Rav Gnoyer from Bnei Brak. And he brings down the Beis Halevi as really the foundation of this idea. And we know that a lot of bad things were happening in the Dor HaMabul that warranted tremendous destruction. And one of those things was Vayar Elokim es Oretz v'hini nishchosa ki yishchiz kol basar es darko al Oretz. They changed their ways. And the Gemara Sanhedrin tells us what happened. There was bestiality going on between behemoths and chayos, wild animals, domesticated animals, all different types of animals were mating with each other. The Medrash tells us, Amru dekulam kilkulu ma'aseim. Everybody ruined their ways. The kelahul echetzel ze'ev, dog and a fox, ratar golem atos, ukumochen ha'adomo kilkulu ma'aseo, v'tachas chitin yotz zunin. Different crops came up instead of the other things. Everybody was doing weird stuff. Everybody was doing things that weren't supposed to happen. And the Beis Halevi says, what's going on over here? Right, I understand a person has the Yetzer Hara. He's somebody who has free choice. So I understand a person is going to go after their taivas and going to do bad things. But animals, crops, are going to veer from their norm? That's very strange. Right? We understand a person, okay, he succumbs to his desires. But an animal and crops? The Beis Halevi says no. What does that mean? When a person does something, it has a hashpah, it has an influence on everything around him. And even if a person obviously if a person does a sin in public, of course it's going to have a negative influence on his environment, of course. But says the Beis Halevi, even if it's in private, when a person does an aveira, it has a tremendous influence on that place. A person does a mitzvah, it also has a tremendous influence on the place. And he makes a tremendous diuk. What does it say? The land, the ground was destroyed. What do you mean the ground was destroyed? So he says, Kolomar, Ra Kodesh Baruch Hu, ki ha'aretz atma hushchusa v'teva avira hitkalkel. The actual air of the place became ruined. What do you mean? What happened? Human beings decided, Hamas, they decided, I want that, they had a type to steal, so they stole. So bad people did bad things. No. Bad people doing bad things influenced animals, crops, and the entire land was nishkasa. That's why the Mabul had to come about, because the entire land was infected, right? Because then we call ma'ase ha'adam mikulkom shergam shishpiyo gam al aretz hadom ha'mes lahashus es darka. Everything was off track. Furthermore, the Revi Eliyahu Pian Zatzal, the Levi Eliyahu. On this note, he says that he was in yeshiva in Lomza. I think Lomza was originally in Europe, but there was Lomza yeshiva also in Petach Tikva. So I think the Maisa could have been here in Eretz Yisrael. There was a hospital that patients were coming in, and they would come in for ailment A, and over time they'd get ailment B, and C, and D, and nobody could figure it out. Finally, they brought in expert doctors and so on and so forth, and they realized that the infections were in the walls of the hospital, and they had no choice. They had no choice but to destroy, demolish the hospital, and rebuild it anew. And says Eli Lopion, an unbelievable thing. You see that in Gashmis, in physical properties, so things have an influence on the environment to the extent that they can cause infection. It has to be that way in Ruchnias also. In Ruchnias, a person is going to be extremely affected by his environment. So this Rav Gnoyer brings down some unbelievable stories and anecdotes to bring out this point. So let's go through some Gemaras first. The Gemara in Brachas says an unbelievable thing, and it's something that we should all strive to do. Right? The Gemara tells us, somebody who establishes a place, he davens in the same place every single day. Right? Okay, Avram Be'ezra, Kodesh Baruch Hu helps him out. And when he passes away, they say about him, Hashem, Hai Chosid, Hai Onov, Mitalmid Avram Avinu. This guy is an Onov, he's humble, he's righteous, he's like Avram Avinu. What's the connection between coming to the same place to daven and we call it a chosid and onav Avram Avinu? What's the maila? So it says, based on this yisod, you know, a person could think that when he comes to daven, it's his hashpah, it's his influence, it's his power, it's his abilities to daven that are helping him out, and that's like a gaiva type of feeling. But a person realizes, hold on a second, a tefillah was done in this place. I want to daven in this place because this place has kedusha. This place is going to help me. So then, What's he saying? I don't have the. I'm not a guy with a man. It's not about me. It's about this is a good place. Somebody davened here prior. Obviously, it was him, according to this. But davening was done here. It's the place itself that's having a hashpa on me. It's not me, and therefore that's an expression of anava. It says over here that Shmuel Weintraub was the mashgiach in the Vordik. He once went to Pinsk, right, and he felt like his tefillos were like. Going really smoothly. He was davening really well. And he found out, he did some research, he found out that the Vilna Gaon had davened in that place. There's another story that the Chafetz Chaim went to during Elul. He was in a certain city. And, no, actually, I'm sorry. Sof Yomav, he was in a certain city. He went to visit a city in Russia. And he said, please bring me to this so and such and such a place. And he went to the place. And in that place, there was a shul. And he was there for a little bit. He smiled and asked him, what's going on here? Why did you want to visit this shul? Why did you want to visit this place? His Talmidim asked him, and he told him that 40 years earlier in Elul they were starting Slichos, and he was walking to Slichos, to shul, and he heard crying. So he went to follow what the crying was, and he found a woman in her house crying, and he said to her, why are you crying? She said, I'm illiterate. I don't know Lashon HaKodesh, but I know everybody else is going to shul to Slichos, and I don't know how to say the words, but at least I'm crying to Hashem. That's what I'm doing. So the Chavetz, 40 years later, the Chavetz Chaim went to that address, because he knew a woman who cries to Hashem, such pure cries, such power, no words, just crying to Hashem. Even though she was illiterate, there was going to be something holy there in that place. And sure enough, he was right. 40 years later, there was a shul in that place. You see that there's an expression of Kedusha, expression of connection to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Something special is going to happen in that place. Another fascinating thing. The Gemara tells us in Yuma about the Kohen Gadol, right? The Gemara in Yuma Daf Yutes tells us that most Kohanim Gadolim in the second base of Migdosh didn't make it through the year. There's a whole cheshbon that the Gemara goes through, and that's because they went to do the avodah in the base of Migdosh. And because they many of them, most of them, got their role through money and other political ways, so most of them did not make it out. But there was one Kohen Gadol who went in and out on Yom Kippur for 80 years in a row. Famous Kohen Gadol, Yochanan Kohen Gadol. But what happened? What happened? Yochanan Kohen Gadol at the end became a tzduki. At the end, he went off the derech. So what's the pshat? So based on this, what happened was that since all the other Kohanim Gadolim were not necessarily fit to go into the base of Mikdash, and they did bad things when they went to the Kodesh Kodesh, meaning that they were an example of bad, not that they necessarily did something in the Kodesh Kodesh that was bad, but the fact that they went in, defiled the place. So over time, even though he was so holy for the first 80 years, the reason why he ended up falling at the end was perhaps based on this Yisod, that there was something off in that place, because, or something off in where the Kohanim Gadolim used to be, because there were bad Kohanim Gadolim throughout the second base of Mikdash. Another medrash to bring out the point. There's a medrash in Parashat told us about Yosef Mesisa. Yosef Mesisa was somebody who's a Yehudi Mumer. It means he became a heretic, and he joined the army of Titus by the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And Titus said, okay, who wants to go in first? Right? He sent the soldiers in to go into the base of Mikdash. And this gentleman, Yosef Mesisa, he went in first. He went in, and what did he come out with? He came out with a menorah in his hand. Right? And the Romans came to him and says, nah, I'm sorry. You can't take the most chashuv thing in the base of Mikdash. You can't take the menorah. You know, that's it. You can't take it. You have to give it to us. So it has to go to the treasure of the Caesar. Okay. So, he gave it to them, and he tried to go back to the base of Mikdash. Yosef Mesisa, the guy who was a heretic. And what happened? This time he said, I can't go back in. He says, he cried and he screamed, Oy li shehichasti es bayri, woe is to me that I angered my creator. Right? And everybody's like, what? What are you talking about? Saying, you were willing to go into the base of Mikdash, destroy it, take anything you wanted. What happened? Obviously, what happened was he went into the base of Mikdash, and he was influenced by the Malkum itself. Unbelievable. How can it be the same person who is Mamash heretic? He went against the Judaism. He is involved in destroying the base of Mikdash. He goes in once, takes the menorah, and says, no, you can't give us the menorah. Go back in, and he starts crying. Unbelievable. What do you see from here? Oh, so the Tanarish Rav says that obviously the hashpa of being in the base of Mikdash, even for a moment, all of a sudden he became a new person. You know, some more stories. Chaim Kanievsky Shlita was walking with his uncle, the Chazon Ish, and they're walking around Bnei Brak and through the gardens. The Bnei Brak, it was known stories that it was totally desolate, totally desolate. They called Reb Kahneman, who built the Panovich Yeshiva, like a dreamer. What are you doing building Yeshiva like in the middle of nowhere? And obviously, this is in the 50s. Chazon Ish, I believe, died in 1954. Chazon Ish said, I feel something in this place. There's some kedusha over here. Something over here. And sure enough, in that place, that's where the Letterman Shul, Reb Chaim Kanievsky davened, and the Stipe davened for many, many years, and Ad Hayom, which is now Reb Chaim Kanievsky davened in his home. But Chazon Ish felt already in that place, there was an element of kedusha. And just one more anecdote, one more amazing story, and then we'll get to what this has to do with us, and what perhaps we can work on for this coming week. This is such a beautiful story. That there was once a woman, the Talmud Chacham, who's saying over the story. He was once on a bus, and he saw a woman getting on the bus with a bunch of kids, and she tells the driver, "I'm going to put my kids in their seat, and then we're going to come back and pay you, the bus driver." Okay, so she puts her kids in the seat, and she goes back to pay the bus driver, and lo and behold, she was in such a rush leaving the house, she forgot to bring her money with her. And she said to the driver, "I'm really sorry. You know, I forgot to bring money for it." And she was assuming that he would tell her to get off the bus. So I'll just quote for you what he said. "Ein lecha klal ma ledog," you have nothing to worry about, says the driver to this lady. "Yesh mi sheishlem avurcha v'avurcha yaladim," I have somebody who will pay for you and who will pay for your kids on this bus. Now, again, I'm not saying I don't want to say anything about Israeli culture, but she was slightly surprised, as was the spectator, this person watching this unfold. And he whips out of his pocket two Ravkavs, a Ravkav, a child Ravkav, and an adult Ravkav. Okay? And he swipes it, and he pays, and he pays for this woman, the driver. And so this person who's telling over this story says he never saw such a thing. Like, what in the world possessed this driver to hold Ravkav cards in his pocket for somebody who doesn't, for somebody who can't pay? And he asks the driver about it, and he says to him, "What do you mean? I have a gemach that." If somebody, this is not the first time it happens, if somebody comes onto the bus and doesn't have money to pay for the bus, I, the driver, pay for them. And he said, "Where did you get such an idea from? A gemach? Like you're a driver. Nobody, where did that come from? Never heard of such a thing." And he said, "I live in Ramat HaSharon, and Ramat HaSharon, the Rav of the city of Ramat HaSharon, Rav Yaakov Edelstein Zatzal, who's the brother of the Gadol HaDor, the Rashi of Parvash, Rav Gershon Edelstein, and he's the Rav of the city." So the man says to the driver, "Oh, so this is his gemach?" He said, "Chas v'shalom, you think I'd bother the Rav with making a gemach for Ravkavs? For like people who don't have the fare for the bus? Absolutely not. But I grew up in this city, Ramat HaSharon. I saw the Rav, how he gave over so much to this kehila, how he was such an image of greatness, of Torah and Chesed. How could I not follow in his ways?" What an unbelievable story. Now, he had a Rav, and he happened to have been huge. I mean, he was... like he was also a Rosh Shiva, Rosh Kolel. He gave Shiva in the highest levels, but he also was the Rav of a regular city, and he had tremendous correspondence with regular people. And on top of that, people used to go to him. His brachos were like mamash, like a Baal Mofes. I mean, I know a friend of mine whose kids, he was having twins, Baruch Hashem, they were healthy, and they were like in the wrong way, and he went to for a bracha in the middle of the night because he saw people Thursday nights. I mean, huge Baal Mofes. And if you have time, maybe you can, upstairs in the Rav David Shirum, is a biography about Rav Yaakov Edelstein. But tremendous, tremendous, tremendous person. But what do you see from the story? That here's a person who lived his life in greatness of chesed and giving, and basically osmotically, and just by being who he was, somebody from his community, a bus driver, decided he's going to, on his own, have a gemach in his pocket for Ravkavs as a driver who's supposed to, right? A driver is supposed to take money, not give money to passengers. It's going to have that type of hashpa to help people on the bus and help people in general. But you see, I think two major yisodos that get very, very practical over here. That where you are is going to have a tremendous influence on your life and on you. You're in a base medrash, you're in Yerushalayim Yer Kodesh, you're with good friends around you, you're in a good environment. It's going to have a tremendous influence on you and your growth in Torah and mitzvahs. But Rachmana Litzlan, if you're not necessarily in a good environment, so it's not going to be good. And it's not just the people, it's even the physical environment. That's obviously the first nekuda. And the second nekuda is you and your influence on the world. Right? Here you are, Mitzvah Shem, in the coming years you're going to be building homes. right? If your home is a place of Torah learning and mitzvos and tehillim and davening and so on and so forth, so then it's going to have a certain impact on your home. But if your home has other devices and other things going on in the home, even if you tell your kid from here till tomorrow, go daven, go learn, and go be a tzaddik, but if certain physical and spiritual influences exist in the home, it's not going to work. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I didn't look it up, but I think it's brought down in halacha, learning at night, right? If the house doesn't have Torah learning at night, so I think there's some sort of ash in the house. But and the night was created, the Gemara tells us, the night was created for learning. Person has a limud Torah in his home, limud Torah is it permeates his home, so then it's going to have a hashpa on his home. But if Rachman al-Aslan, it's not there, it's not going to happen, and this is all based on this Yisod. What happened in the Mabul? All of a sudden, some human beings were doing inappropriate things, doing the wrong thing, and everything went haywire. Everything. So I think the takeaway from today is, number one, you have to really understand how important it is to be in the right environment, right? And I think people relate to this, right? If you're among, good, B'nai Torah in a base medrash, the way you think and the way you act is different than if you go to a different place. And what kind of, you'd even feel it, from minute to minute. You're one time in the base medrash talking and learning with somebody, and then you're perhaps outside or somewhere else talking to a different kind of guy about a different type of topic. All of a sudden, your frame of mind switches, and that's on a conscious level. And we're learning today. I mean, can you imagine, a hospital, the infections, again, biologically, I'm sure it can be explained biologically. But spiritually, this is reality. So it's incumbent upon us, number one, to always try to be in the right environment. Number two, to realize the mission, the responsibility that we have to go ahead and create environments that lend themselves to continued growth. Have a great Shabbos.